This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. The hustle and bustle of airports can be especially challenging to navigate for people with invisible disabilities. A growing number of airports have programs to help those travelers with trained staff and specially designed spaces. Joining me now to talk about traveling with invisible disabilities and how individuals and families can advocate for themselves are Invisible Disability Project CEO Linda Williams. Welcome, Linda.
Hi. Thank you for having me, Lucy.
Great to have you here. Associate Director of the University of Cincinnati Center for Excellence in Developmental Disabilities, Kara Ayers. Thanks for being here, Kara.
Thanks, Lucy. Happy to be here today.
And CVG Airport Vice President for Customer Experience, Adam Kressler. Welcome, Adam.
Thanks. So great to be here.
Great to have you all. UC is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. Linda, talk about invisible disabilities and what challenges people with invisible disabilities can face when they're traveling.
Yes. So I think a great place to start is just defining invisible disabilities. Invisible disabilities are those impairments, whether it's in your body or your mind, that is something that the person who's experiencing it knows all too well, but it's not apparent to people in the outside world. And so often, the world around us doesn't yield to our bodily or neurodiversity. So it's really situated in a lived experience.
Hmm. And Kara, I know that you use a wheelchair. What kind of obstacles do you encounter when you travel, beyond the invisible disability obstacles?
Yeah, I do. I encounter obstacles like, you know, the challenge of getting on the plane. I usually use an aisle chair for that. And so ensuring that the folks that are going to be helping me with that process are well-trained. And then my wheelchair goes, gets checked below. And, my wheelchair is really similar to my legs. So it's so important that it arrives back to me intact. And that is definitely a goal that through policies and different training, the airlines and airports and advocates like myself are working on. But I also always remind people in this space that the vast majority of people with disabilities don't look like me. They have invisible disabilities like we're speaking about today. So I'm excited. You know, there's so much common ground and we've made progress in this area and I think have a lot more to do as well.
Yeah. And I definitely want to talk about that progress, what more there is to do. Linda, let's start by talking about the Sunflower Program. What is it? How common is it? And what's it designed to do?
The Sunflower Program, to my understanding, is a lanyard where a traveler can self-select, wear it. So it's an outward symbol to show that there is an invisible disability. You know, we have the blue placard, which shows a person in a wheelchair, and that's the symbol that conveys disability. And so I think the vast majority of people think about disability associated with assistive devices, but invisible disabilities, you know, really harkens to this fundamental question of how do we talk about the things that we can't see? And it turns out when we're traveling, the ability to communicate about our body, our lived experience, and our needs in these other spaces or systems that may not accommodate us is really important. So the sunflower itself is that signal that says, hey, you know, there may be something going on that I may need accommodations for.
Yeah. Adam, what's available at CVG to help people with invisible disabilities? Do you all use the Sunflower Program?
Yes, we do. We've been using the Sunflower Program for a few years now, and we've had quite a bit of success with it. The take-up is about 8 folks a month that reach out for it. And we try to refresh that message every year to kind of, you know, we see as we head into the spring and summer travel period, we try to get it back out in the media, let folks know that it's available. But certainly that is one of the biggest options we have. And the TSA has a great program called TSA Cares, and you can reach out to them ahead of your travel. But I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit more, but that's another great program that we have.
Yeah. Do you find that most people are aware of the Sunflower Program, that they kind of know what it is and they know to ask, or is there a lot of you know, awareness that needs to be raised about this?
I think there is, in certain communities, there is a lot of awareness. But I think where we don't capture folks is where they have maybe a temporary or a medical issue that message isn't getting to them. But folks who are certainly going into the clinical environment seem to know a lot about it.
Okay. We're talking about traveling with an invisible disability. Do you have questions or do you have a traveling experience you'd like to share? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or you can email talk at wvxu.org. Kara, you were talking about staff and trained staff on airplanes in particular. Do you find that some staff are trained better than others? What do you really look for when it comes to staff and their training levels, whether it's for yourself, for families, when you're advising folks who have invisible disabilities?
Yeah, I do find, you know, there's variance and there is some, I'd say some high turnover in a lot of these positions too, which adds to the challenge. But our team at Cincinnati Children's, I'm part of a team through the Division of Developmental and Behavioral Pediatrics. There's a program led by Dr. Jen Smith called the LIFT program. And we've had some ups and downs with COVID. We had to slow down a bit, but LIFT stands for Leading Individuals Forward Together. And it really pairs the training of the staff at airports as well as the preparing of people with invisible disabilities and their families. So kind of working to prepare both sides. And, you know, the training for the staff is more like traditional staff working through problems, hearing from them about what's come up so that we can help them address that. But also on the side of people with invisible disabilities, helping them actually practice. We've had in vivo events where they can actually go through the whole steps of process. There's so many transitions in air travel. You know, I'm sure we can all relate. There's the hurry up and wait. And that can be really challenging for many invisible disabilities. And what's been nice with our team at Cincinnati Children's is the kids and families that we've worked with, you know, it's the same team members they may have in their clinical service, recognizing that, you know, we as people with disabilities want to go out and enjoy the world too, go on vacations. And sometimes invisible disabilities and the systems at play can make that more difficult. So we're trying to bridge that divide and really help both sides, both travelers and members of airport teams kind of work on this better together.
Yeah. Linda, how big a difference does that kind of training make?
It makes a big difference. If I may, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the sunflower and why it might not work for all people. And that's because putting a lanyard around one's neck also produces stigma for some people. It's saying, you know, I do have something that's different, and it's outing oneself, and not everybody is comfortable with that. So the conversation about invisible disabilities and travel is a little bit more complex, and it has a lot to do with a person's sense of agency to be able to feel free to express what's going on inside their body and know that the person that they'll communicate that to is a safe person who will be able to hear and help. I think the training is really important, but it's also the ability to feel the freedom to be able to communicate one's story.
That's such an important point. Adam, does CBG have training in that regard, not just as it pertains to the Sunflower program, but just to be listening for those kinds of signals from passengers, whether, you know, no matter what they're saying, to really listen to them expressing what they need?
We do. And the airlines and the federal partners have that training as well. To the point made previously, there is quite a bit of turnover, and you do see some variance, but it is always part of the drive. And I you know, there are folks that don't want to self-identify, and it's important that staff be on the lookout for that and understand and be comfortable in asking those questions and finding out what those needs are.
Mm-hmm. We do have some callers on the line. Hi, Virginia. Thank you so much for your call. What did you want to talk about?
Hi, I just I have a sibling with a physical disability and who is also neurodivergent, and I think that as as somebody who's shorter and rather petite and rather cute looking, my sister oftentimes gets infantilized and treated as somebody who's much, much younger, even though she's, you know, she's nearing 40. And so my sister's never flown, but a couple months ago, we tried out the Sunflower, like, lanyard program. I called ahead to CBG, and it was wildly successful. My sister flew for the first time from CBG to New York to visit me because I was working there for a while, and I can attest to the incredible amount of dignity that CBG gave and also information that CBG gave to both me and my sister. And I also wanted to talk about the importance of having our neurodivergent adults experience adult, having adult experiences through the facilitation of others. This was an incredible experience for her. We will absolutely be doing it again. And also, but it couldn't have happened if other people had this program and this foresight. And so I think that this goes to show that with supports and facilitating supports maybe from other organizations, you know, oftentimes our disabilities are, they don't really shine, they aren't as big when you have the correct kinds of supports that others can provide.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much, Virginia. I really appreciate that. That what a wonderful story. And I'm so glad that you and your sister had a terrific experience. We have another caller on the line. Hi, Kirk. Thank you so much for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I didn't really realize I had an invisible disability until I listened to your program. By the way, I'm a longtime VXU member, and I love this program, too.
Thank you.
I'm 67, but since for my 20s, I've had extreme motion sickness problems on planes. To the extent that I really avoid flying whenever I can. I've tried all sorts of things, Dramamine. I've tried those things you put on your wrist that, you know, put pressure on your wrist. I just, so I don't think I'm really to be influenced by the Sunflower program, but I'm a very healthy adult and, you know, I'm very thankful for that. But it really is kind of a crippling disability because I, you know, I'll give a good example. I flew from here to Ottawa, Ontario, a number of years ago. It was for a wedding. So the flight to from Cincinnati to Toronto, you're in a small plane. And then from Toronto to Ottawa, you're in a bigger plane. But with that small plane that made me sick, I spent the whole day in bed when I got to my brother's place.
Oh no, gosh, Kirk, that sounds miserable. I'm gonna stop you there. We're talking about people with neurodivergent issues and that sort of thing. But Adam, is this something that folks are trained to deal with? Somebody like Kirk, who's just miserable on one of those small flights.
It's hard for me to speak directly to the on-aircraft experience.
Sure, yeah.
But I would imagine that the flight attendant training and that crew has quite a bit of training in that respect. It's funny, Kirk obviously noted that the larger aircraft, that was going to be my comment, was if that's a sensitivity that the, you know, looking at that larger aircraft when you're booking is an important thing to do. But
yeah,
that is a challenge. But I will say, you know, the Lyft event, something we're very proud of at the airport. And I was working with Dr. Smith back when that was created. It has been on a little bit of a hiatus after COVID. We're trying to get that restarted. But I do want to let folks know that if they want to have a familiarization tour, we always offer those. It's not quite the same as a Lyft event where you have a little bit broader experience, but we find we have great success with families. They just reach out and we schedule to make it available to them, and they can come through and experience all those points along the travel ribbon that might create a moment of concern for their family.
Yeah. Let's see. I we got some good advice in there from Adam about kind of familiarizing with flights and maybe trying to look for those bigger planes. Kirk, I'm sorry to have cut you off there. We're running out of time, and I want to make sure we cover some of our other issues. I appreciate your listening. Adam, you mentioned that TSA really kind of tries to take care and be aware when people are going through that system. Talk a little bit about what accommodations can happen there.
Yeah, so they have passenger support specialists, and they typically recommend 72 hours ahead of your flight to reach out to them, and they will put you in touch with the local TSA. And they really just, it's about understanding what your needs are, and they'll come out and meet you and walk you through that process. It's one of the more personal experiences at the airport. You know, you're taking items away from folks who might not be used to that or comfortable with that. And their specialists are just tremendously trained, and they have great experience, and they can just help ease some of those stressors in that first stage of that experience.
Yeah. Karen, Linda, I want to get your thoughts about some of the things that, you know, once people have gotten through the airport, gotten through the flying experience, what are some things that hotels and attractions are doing well for people with invisible disabilities, and some places that improvements could be made? Mm-hmm. Kara, I'll start with you.
Yeah, one of the approaches that I really value is called universal design. And I think that really is a useful approach here because, as we've talked about, we may not always know if somebody has an invisible disability or a non-visible disability. Universal design means that we design these attractions, these hotels, these places with as many people in mind as possible, and we really try to make it as accessible for everybody off the bat. So that's a very different approach than designing it and then waiting to see what changes or adaptations people might need. So things like reducing sensory overload, being thoughtful about lighting, you know, great signage to tell you where you're going, I think is appreciated by everybody, but is even more needed and valuable with lots of non-visible disabilities. So I think that the more we move towards that direction of universal design, we're all going to appreciate and enjoy better design in these spaces.
Linda, what do you think? Universal design, that sounds like it's great for everybody. Where are hotels and attractions and places that people are going when they're traveling? Where are some of the things, places where they're falling short?
Right. I mean, yes, universal design is wonderful. For people with invisible disabilities, it really is the social barriers, the systems and structures, and where things are, I think we need an improvement is the digital space. So much of travel right now is reliant on the digital interface. And for people with cognitive impairments, learning disabilities, visual impairments, the digital, the apps, the interface, they're not always built with bodily and neurodiversity in mind. So we have a lot of work to do there.
That's such a good point. Kara, where can people find more information about traveling with invisible disabilities? Are there particular websites or resources that you can recommend if people really want to get some more information about this?
Yeah, there's an important mantra in the disability community called "Nothing about us without us." which leads me to point to the many, many disabled adults that share their perspectives, both what's gone wrong in travel, but also what's gone right. And many of us, you know, are recognizing that there are so many solutions that we're coming upon along the way. So I definitely want to highlight, you know, there are blogs, and there are, you know, I follow a newsletter called Disability Thinking Today. There's Corey Lee Curb Free is a blogger who writes about travel with a power chair, but also non-visible disabilities. And then folks are always welcome to reach out to us. UCCEDD.org, and we can tell you more about that LIFT program. We also have social stories, which can allow families and individuals with non-visible disabilities to get a look at what steps are involved in travel, so they can know what to prepare for. So yeah, we would be happy to partner. It's exciting when people are ready to take those adventures, whether it be to, you know, go visit somewhere for vacation or for work or wherever it is they're going.
Yeah. And Adam, is there a point of contact at CBG for people who want to get more information or have some initial questions about all this?
Yes, they can always reach out to us at info@cvgairport.com, or they can call us. That's 859-767-3230. And you'll talk to a live person, much to the chagrin that everybody wants to sell me a system, but
yeah.
With real people.
That's good.
And then for TSA Cares, the best way to get a hold of them is just go to the TSA website and type in TSA Cares, and that'll direct you to their system.
Yeah. Linda, what's your number one tip for travelers, maybe for other travelers who don't have disabilities, visible or otherwise? What can everyone be doing to be more helpful while travel is happening?
That's such a great question. Pause, ask, and listen. And I think I'm going to change that order, is just pause. If you notice that someone's struggling or you notice anything that seems different, just pause and listen. Give people the space to feel comfortable to discuss what their needs are. And I want to just take a step back. I'll say this very quickly, but for those of us with disabilities, invisible disabilities, it's important that we're able to articulate to ourselves the lived experience that we're having and organize it so that we are able to communicate when the time comes our needs. Mm-hmm.
Great advice. I've been talking with Invisible Disability Project CEO Linda Williams, Associate Director of the University of Cincinnati Center for Excellence in Developmental Disabilities, Kara Ayers, and CBG Airport Vice President for Customer Experience, Adam Kressler. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lucy.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.